but this isn't the first time we've heard this, is it?
Oh, no. I would venture to say that every defense secretary wades into this territory at some period. In fact, the last time it happened, Donald Rumsfeld made a very big speech saying he was going to attack overhead and excessive bureaucracy and squeeze billions of dollars out of Pentagon bloat. And the day he did that was September 10th, 2001.
Well, the rest, as we say, is history.
Right. Events the following day pretty much
changed all that.
That about as far as it could go.
Yeah, I'd completely forgotten about that. That is absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, obviously there were special circumstances there, but it's not an easy thing to do under any circumstances. And maybe the only guy who can do it is a guy who doesn't really need to be in this job, had to be coaxed to stay into it, is not really interested in currying favor with either the White House or people on Capitol Hill. And, you know, that's kind of who Robert Gates is. So if anyone could pull it off, it's him. But it's a whole lot of sacred cows he's taken on.
Now, one of the phrases that I have learned in this process, as we've talked about this, is the phrase tooth to tail. My little friend, my good friend, Chris Dorabeck, has just taught me that.
Hi, I'm the little friend.
But tell me about that and why it is so tough to cut these back-end systems.
Well, there's a bunch of reasons, and of course the tooth to tail is the tooth being the fighting end of the military force, and the tail being everything that is needed to support it. And the tail has been growing and growing and growing for decades now. Partly because it's an increasingly complicated thing to pull off what the Defense Department wants to pull off. But the other thing is, it's everything in the tail. Isn't stuff that's all that politically beneficial to people nearly so much as the tooth stuff is, and then the weapon systems and the big things. And it's just harder to get people to pay attention to the sort of more mundane kinds of things. And even when you do, they tend to be things that people don't want to be seen as cutting back on. That is, pay increases for military service members and health care and things like that.
Well, is that what it is? Because that's kind of, speaking as the daughter of a retired military man, that's kind of critical stuff.
It is. And it's absolutely, even before this speech that Secretary Gates made on Saturday, senior defense officials were coming out and saying they are being eaten alive by their pay and benefits costs.
Yeah.
Traditionally, over the past several years, Congress has increased the percentage military pay increase that the Defense Department has requested, which, by the way, also tends to boost the civilian pay increase across government. And healthcare costs are really spiraling out of control at defense, like other places.
Somebody should really talk about reforming healthcare, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
We haven't heard anything about that over the past.
But, TRICARE wasn't included in healthcare reform. It was a great big loophole, and that's the military health benefits program.
Right, and it was fairly shocking to me the way Gates took TRICARE on sort of head on, saying basically two things. One, that premiums have not increased enough. He said they haven't gone up basically in 10 years, and that they have to, or at least insinuated that they have to, and raised the issue that retirees can be on TRICARE while they're employed somewhere else in the private sector, even while they're getting their military retirement. And it was clear that he is backing the notion that they should be required to get health care from their private employer.
And, of course, all sorts of implications in all of that for service members and retirees, but also a lot of implications for industry, all those very tall buildings in Crystal City there that all have a lot of big company names on the sides of them, the defense military complex, if you will.
Right. And I suppose it depends on, if you're a contractor, on where you are in that food chain of contractors. Because, I mean, on the one hand, the whole idea behind this is to cut overhead expenses, essentially, to try to cut out of the bureaucracy and various other overhead expenses in order to, Gates expressly said, to fund defense modernization efforts. He's basically saying, I don't think we're going to get the money for modernization from Congress like we used to, and we're going to have to find cuts elsewhere. So if you're in the business of building big new weapon systems, that may not necessarily be a bad thing for you. On the other hand, he specifically targeted the, you know, $200 billion or so of operations and maintenance spending that defense does every year as saying that, there's excessive spending there and things need to be, that there's an over-reliance on contractors. And, of course, it's not the first time that he said that the Pentagon ought to cut back on its use of contractors and beef up its own workforce.
Now, no politician could propose this. This is something that would have had to have come from within the Pentagon itself, from the defense secretary. So does this then have traction and more cachet because he is the person who proposed it? And if so, is there a timeline? Can we expect changes to come within this administration?
I think you're going to see him very much make a push for this. Whether or not it succeeds, I think depends on how much Secretary Gates himself invests in it. If this becomes just a speech that he makes and a proposal that gets rolled out, traditionally there's just not going to be a lot of traction there. The interesting thing to watch will be to see if Gates himself puts his own prestige behind this. And I think it's very possible he might. He might say, this is the thing I want to have accomplished before I leave government. And make it sort of a personal crusade of his, in which case I think you could see something happen, and it would have to be relatively soon because I don't think there's, even if there was a second Obama administration, I think it's highly unlikely he would stick around for
it. Yeah, he's already been there for, what, 2 years? 2 years,
yeah,
before that. So
exactly.
On Saturday when he gave the speech and I was reading the stories about it, I went back and read the Eisenhower speech, the military-industrial complex speech, mm-hmm. Because that's the that nerdy. and that was almost 40 years ago, for goodness sakes.
Right.
I mean, this is not a new fight.
No, it isn't. And when you think of how much smaller the military-industrial complex was during Eisenhower's time, it's sort of shocking to think about.
It's remarkable. We can't let you get away without talking about the Office of Personnel Management, the big announcement today about speeding the hiring process. What's your take?
I think this is, to me, their first step out into doing something serious in the management arena, especially around the hiring thing. What'll be interesting to see is how it plays out from here. What I thought was interesting is, you know, John Barry has been running around saying, like, we've got to shift to a resume-based system. Well, government was supposed to have shifted to a resume-based system 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Back when Eisenhower was president, not that long, but
so that's not necessarily a new concept, but And one of the things that I wrote about a little bit today was that when you make announcements like this and say we have, you know, we're going to make the following changes, if you give agencies too much leeway, they have a tendency to say, well, if you're giving me a choice, I'm going to choose to do things the way we've always done things. But I think they've tried to cut down on that with this by being pretty specific in the memo and saying, listen, this means no more knowledge, skills, and ability statements. And, in fact, no more essays. So don't try to give them just a different name and keep doing the same thing. So that kind of thing, I think they're, you know, those are very specific things, and then they're going to demand measurable results. And if they follow through on that, I think that does make a difference.
But it will be interesting to see if this is the first in what's a no, because I think a lot of people had the impression that there was going to be changes to the GS system and maybe a pay-for-performance kind of system. It'll be interesting to see if there's more yet to come.
Yeah, and I bet there will be. And I think that's probably, in the end, a smart move on their part to say, let's do this one step at a time and not dump some big, huge proposal covering everything out that people can just ignore.